Yes, good singing. Praise the Lord. Well, kiddos, come on up. Need your help with a recipe. All right. Is it just going to be you and me? Oh, no, there's all kinds of kids back there. Great. Come on up. Wonderful. And I am confident you can help me. All right. So what are we celebrating today? What are we celebrating today? Yeah, good question, right? Because it's not really Thanksgiving. And it's not really Christmas. But you know what we do? What are we celebrating today?
Christmas.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to say like Turk Ham Day. Because it's kind of that too. We're kind of celebrating Thanksgiving and Christmas as the church family in one. But sorry, Valentine's? Yeah, not yet. That's February. You know, but I wasn't here for Thanksgiving, so I missed out. So I thought I'd go ahead and plan for next year a while. And I'm you weren't here either? Great. Well, then this is going to help you too, because we're going to plan for next year. And I'm trying to come up with a recipe for a happy Thanksgiving. A recipe for a happy Thanksgiving. Like, for example, I would say, for a happy Thanksgiving, you need some pumpkin pie. That's part of my recipe. What else do you need to have a happy Thanksgiving? What do you need there? What do you think? Turkey?
Turkey.
Turkey, okay. Turkey and pumpkin pie. What else would make for a happy Thanksgiving? What do you think?
Marshmallows.
Marshmallows. Oh, marshmallows. Sure. Marshmallows on the sweet potatoes. What else do we need for a happy Thanksgiving? What else do we need for a happy Thanksgiving? What do you think? Do we need any people? What?
Ham.
Ham. That'd be good. It's all food items. Do we need anything besides food, or will it be happy with just food? What else?
Having your family.
Nice, having your family. You know what else I think? Yeah, I think the main thing of a happy Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks. And what's Thanksgiving without giving thanks, right? You know, Thanksgiving is all about giving thanks to God. And we're going to learn today.
Jesus' birthday.
Very good. Christmas is Jesus' birthday, and Thanksgiving is giving thanks to God. What's Easter? What's Easter?
You have to find. You get toys, and you have to get eggs from your house, too.
But it's really, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. It is fun, but we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, right? All right, well, today what we're going to learn is, listen closely, the will of God, God's will for all of us, is that we would learn to give thanks in everything. Like, we would go into give thanks all the time. Even today, you should give thanks to God for something. What?
When you spend time with your mom and dad, it's fun too because you get to do fun stuff or go to the fair when the fair's open.
And then afterwards, you could give thanks to God and say, right before you say, thank you, God, that mom and dad took me to the fair, right? And then you'd already be learning how to give thanks and everything. Let's give God thanks right now, okay? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we thank you for these kids. Thank you so much that they're here in church. We pray that they would come to know you as their Lord early in life. We thank you for their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and friends and neighbors that bring them to church and that teach them your word. God, I just pray also that all of us today would learn how to have a happy Thanksgiving all year long, the way the Apostle Paul and others did. Bless these children, God, and bless our time in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great job. Thank you, guys. Kids are great, aren't they? It's fun having them come up. I know that for some of you, the best part of the service has now just finished. I know. It's okay. But take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's open to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go verse by verse through this entire letter, and it will take us a little while because we're going 1 to 2 verses at a time. This morning, we're in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. If you remember, last week we began our study with verse 1, and we learned that this letter, although it was originally written by Paul to the church in Thessalonica, this is a letter from God to us. This has been preserved by God for us today, and it's a letter about things that matter in the Christian life, like giving thanks. Like giving thanks. That is something that matters to God, and it should matter to us. And thanksgiving, or giving of thanks, is not something we do one day a year, but every day of the year. And that's why I titled the message, Happy Thanksgiving, Even at Christmas and All Year Long. I felt, since we're celebrating both, I kind of had to get it all into the title. All right, so it's Happy Thanksgiving, even at Christmas, and all year long. Take a look with me at verses 2 through 4, and we are going to put together a recipe for a happy Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 to 4, I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God." These verses in some Bibles have been titled Paul's Thanksgiving, meaning Paul's prayers in which he gave thanks to God for the church. And the Spirit of God is showing us here how Paul and his companions, Silvanus or Silas and Timothy, he's showing us how they gave thanks to God always for that church in Thessalonica. What do you think? Is that a good thing to do? It's a very good thing. In fact, it is the will of God. Paul ends this letter in chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 by saying, "Rejoice always, right? Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So giving thanks to God, of course, is important. It's something we all need to learn to do. And what I want you to see this morning in these verses is how Paul and his companions did that, and we're going to draw out seven ingredients of a happy Thanksgiving. So you should leave today with a recipe for a happy Thanksgiving, not just on Thanksgiving Day next year, but a recipe for a happy Thanksgiving every day of the year, including Christmas and all year long. All right, the first ingredient, you ready? And we're just, all of them are going to be like this. Their Thanksgiving was blank. And then we're going to apply that, okay? Their Thanksgiving was close-knit. That's a hyphenated word, close-knit. Close-knit. You've heard of close-knit, right? Oh, they're a really close-knit group. Well, notice the first word in verse 2. We. We give thanks to God always for you all. We could say their Thanksgiving was corporate, meaning it wasn't just something that Paul did all by himself. He got together with his buddies. Paul, with Timothy and Silas. We learned last week a little bit about these men, and I'm not going to go through their history, but this much you know for sure. All three of them were sinners who had been saved by the grace of God. All three of them were missionaries who traveled around the countryside together, planting churches and strengthening churches that had already been planted. And these three men became buddies. They became close friends. And one of the things that these three men did together was pray. And when they prayed, notice what he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." This means these three men got together regularly, probably every day, and part of their day was spent in prayer, and in their prayers, they'd say, "Lord, we give you thanks for that church there in Thessalonica." That's something they did. Their thanksgiving every day was close-knit. This is a very simple first ingredient for a happy Thanksgiving all year long. Together with other servants of God, in a small group, in a close-knit group, just give thanks to God for the church that you're a part of. These three men were all part of the Thessalonian church because they planted that church. They started it. And now, ever after, they're giving thanks for the church of which they were a part. What's the application for you? Fathers, lead your wives and children in giving thanks daily for the church of which you are a part. Small group leaders, how many of you lead small groups? I know Brother John Rouse leads a small group, and Brother Jerry and Doc leads a small group. Lead your small groups in giving thanks to God for the church of which you are a part. Lead them in that. Say, you know what, let's thank God now for the church that we attend. Give thanks to God as a close-knit group. Parents with your kids, grandparents with your grandchildren, when the grandkids are over, say, you know what? We're going to give thanks now to God for the church. This is something that Paul and his companions did all the time. Notice second ingredient, their thanksgiving was constant. It was close-knit, a close-knit group of three men praying and giving thanks to God, but it was also constant. Look at verse 2. We give thanks to God. By the way, give thanks is a verb. It's an action word. Right? Remember grammar, high school grammar? Verbs are action words. And this action words, if you really remember your grammar, there's past tense, present tense, future tense. It's in the present tense. we keep on giving thanks to God always for you all, continually making mention of you in our prayers. Making mention is a verb, that's an action word, and it's in the present tense. Remembering, that's a verb, and it's in the present tense. We keep on remembering, without ceasing, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop there. What's he saying? Here is an activity that the three of us engage in constantly. And the picture is very simple, but it's beautiful. These three men took time out as they traveled the countryside. These three men took time out as they were ministering the Word of God. And they say, hey, you know, let's take some time out and let's pray together. Not everybody does that. Right? I mean, that is not common. These three men did it. And they would have a close-knit, brief time of thanksgiving. And that was constant. By all indications, these men gave thanks to God a lot. Paul certainly did. He begins nearly every letter he writes saying this. Listen, Romans 1:8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you. Now that should cause us to stop for a minute and say, what? You remember the church at Corinth? The church with no problems? Yeah, hardly. If you know the 1 and 2 Corinthians, that's the church that's got all kinds of problems. But he begins his letter saying, I mean, is he lying here? I thank my God always concerning you. Is he, what do you think, he's lying? I don't think he's lying. So how does that work? Why would you give thanks to God for a church that isn't perfect? Oh, because none of them are perfect. That would be one reason. But another reason to do it is because even in the imperfect church, there are things for which to thank God. And Paul, being a mature Christian, was the kind of man who would say, you know what, I am looking at the things for which I can thank God for, and I give thanks to God for those things. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect family. And there's no perfect church. So should we not thank God? No. God says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God for Christ Jesus in you. You know, one of the things that I try to do as a pastor is, you know, we have visitors that come to our church, and sometimes those visitors will fill out a little card, you know, I visited on this date, and if they leave a phone number or an address, I'll call them or I'll try to visit with them. And if I get to visit with somebody who has visited our church for any length of time, you know, I have a nice conversation, how did you like your visit, and tell me about yourself, and tell me how you came to know Christ, and I just want to understand where they're at with the Lord. But if they intend to continue coming, I have this request. And if you're newer to New Life Bible Church, I have this request. I say, you know, I have one request for you. They say, oh, what is it? If you keep coming to New Life, I would ask you to learn to love the people. That's what I ask. I ask you would learn to love the people. Even so much that you would give thanks to God for them. That takes time. That does take time. You know why I ask that? How will people know that we are Christ's disciples? They will know that we're his disciples by our love for one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's why I want people to learn to love the church. It's not easy because we're a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God, and we still all stumble in so many ways. But one way to express love for the church is by giving thanks. And that should be constant even if your church has troubles. Second ingredient for happy Thanksgiving all year long, give thanks to God constantly for the church of which you are a part. Make Thanksgiving part of your daily life. And do that as an expression of your love to God for his church. Third ingredient for a happy Thanksgiving, their Thanksgiving was inclusive. Not exclusive, but inclusive. Take a look again at 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for whom? For you all. Now, I could kind of see singling out the super spiritual ones. We give thanks to you, God, for the people that we like in the church. The people we kind of like to hang out with. The people that are kind of fun to be with. But we're not thanking you for the ones that we don't like, because we don't like them. That's not the way Paul prayed. He says, and again, he's being honest here. You'll see in a minute how you know he's being honest. We give thanks to God always for you all. For all of you. And then he says, making mention of you in our prayers, which kind of raises this question. Do you think that Paul and Silas and Timothy were naming every single individual in the church at Thessalonica. What do you think? Probably not. You know why not? Because it had been a while since they planted that church, and if you've been around churches very long, the members list keeps changing. People move away and new people come. He couldn't know every single individual in that church. So probably the prayer was something like this. Lord, we thank you so much for the saints there in Thessalonica. We thank you, God, for all that we've seen in them. We thank you, God, for how they're working for you and serving you. And they are thanking God, making mention of the whole church, thanking God for all the saints in their prayers. So this is an ingredient for a happy Thanksgiving. Give thanks to God together with a close-knit group. Give thanks to God constantly. Make it part of your daily life. And give thanks to God for all of us. Yeah, even for me. Even for the pastors. Even for the deacons. Even thank God for the deacons. Deacons, I don't know why deacons have a bad reputation, but they just, you know. Oh, it's the deacons. We got great deacons, praise God. We have reason to give thanks to God for everyone in the church. Fourth ingredient for a happy Thanksgiving. Their Thanksgiving was caused. Caused, meaning there's a cause. There's a reason why they gave thanks. Take a look again at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And then there's this, if you remember your grammar, an ing word, remembering. But in Greek, when there aren't ing words in Greek, actually, there are things called participles, and often they are causal. And this one is a causal. It means because we are remembering without ceasing. He is giving here the cause for Thanksgiving, the reason why they kept thanking God. It's because we keep remembering without ceasing three things: your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. These were three things that caused Paul and his companions to thank God constantly for the church. Number one, work of faith. Number two, labor of love. And number three, patience of hope. Now, stick with me here. See where it says work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Work, labor, and patience are three fruits that are produced by these three roots, faith, love, and hope. And those three things, faith, hope, and love, are rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, we give thanks to God always because we keep on remembering your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, which was producing work, your love for our Lord Jesus Christ, which was producing labor, and your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, which was producing patience or perseverance. Let's take these one at a time. These are the three reasons why Paul gave thanks. And you need to be thinking, can I give thanks to God for our church for these same things? First, the work of faith. What is he referring to here? Well, when Paul uses the word work, he is not referring so much to the work of physical working with your hands. That's the next one, labor. Here, it refers to the spiritual work that is done to build up the body of Christ. It's all the counseling and encouraging and preaching and teaching and personal discipleship that goes on. I could prove that from a lot of verses. I'll just use one. In Ephesians chapter 4, you might remember, Paul says, Christ gave to the church pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, why do pastor teachers exist? We exist to equip you to do the work of ministry that builds up the body. Well, that's a spiritual work. We equip you to do counseling and visiting and encouraging and discipleship and, yes, teaching the Bible. We encourage and equip you to do discipleship. You should be doing discipleship in your homes and in your families. That's what I am here to equip you to do. Okay? And that's called the work of ministry. Well, what produces that? Genuine faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, you want to be doing all that you can to make disciples for His glory. So Paul said, hey, we give thanks to God for you guys because we keep remembering what we saw there. We saw your work of faith. We saw how your faith in Jesus Christ was producing the work of ministry to build up the body. We saw you serving one another, encouraging one another, helping one another, speaking the truth to one another in love. We saw that. Second of all, the labor of love. What is that? Well, labor is a reference to physical labor, working with your hands. Like Paul did when he planted the church at Thessalonica, he says in the next chapter, 1 Thessalonians 2:9, he says, you remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach the gospel of God to you. In other words, when Paul and his companions came into Thessalonica, they made tents. Remember that? They were seamstresses. They sewed tents together, and they would sell their tents so that they wouldn't be a financial burden on this brand new church that just has a few believers. And then as he would have opportunity, if Paul would get support from somewhere else, then he could not work and he'd be freed up to do more ministry. But when he was starting a new work someplace, he would work with his hands for the sake of that church. What motivated him to do that? Love. Love. And labor refers to the fact that there are Christians who work with their hands, not just to put food on the table, but to give something to help the church. There are people here in this room, and it's very humbling for me to know this. You work with your hands to make a living, and part of the money that you earn by working for a living, you contribute to the church, and you have freed me up to do ministry full time. And I am very thankful to you for that, but I give thanks to God for you. I make my living from the gospel, as the Bible says, as Jesus said. A laborer is worthy of his wages, and yes, I do not now work a job outside of the church other than ministering here. I'm thankful for that. And I better earn my keep, right? You keep me going. You should say that. You better earn your keep. Well, they were thankful for this labor of love, and we see that labor of love every time that we see people in the church working jobs and contributing to the work of God. Where else do we see that? We see it here every work day. Okay, when we gather for a spring work day or a fall work day, we do some landscaping around the church. We cut down some of those juniper bushes, and people are washing windows and vacuuming carpets and cleaning toilets. And what is that? That's physical labor. Well, what would motivate you to come and do that? Well, you're not getting paid, right? Love. That's the labor of love. That's what it is. We see that when people come and mow the grass. We see that when people come and shovel the walks when the snow comes down. We see that when people kill the weeds or spread rocks in the parking lot. We see that when people fix a fan or fix a light. That's a labor motivated by a love for the church. And by the way, since you have very graciously freed me up to do ministry, it's not a burden on me to come to every workday and take part in the cleaning of the church. When I'm here and something's leaking, run up to Lowe's and buy a new piece for the toilet and fix the toilet if I can, or call the plumber to get it fixed. I enjoy taking part with you in the labor for the sake of the church. This is a good thing. Third thing is patience of hope. What is that? That is enduring in the work of faith and the labor of love, even though it's not easy. Even though you're suffering afflictions. And you know what's great to see? Is when people show up for work day, or they come out and help in Awana, or they come and help with Kids Club, or they come and help with Bible study, or they're actively engaged in men's groups or ladies' groups or whatever. You see people actively serving the church, and yet you know they got their own troubles at home. But they're not so involved with their own family and own troubles that they can't also sacrifice for the sake of the rest of the church. That's called the perseverance of hope. That means they endure in doing work of faith for the brethren and engaging in labor of love for the brethren, even though that is not easy. And that comes from a hope, a confident expectation that Jesus Christ is coming again. That's called the patience of hope, the endurance despite trials that continues because we expect that Jesus Christ is coming again. These are the things that Paul and his friends saw in the church at Thessalonica. And for these things, they thank God constantly. You want to know why they thank God constantly for those things? Turn over to chapter 3 just for a second. Chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. And look at verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? You know why he gave thanks to God for those things? As he looked at the church and he saw, man, there are people here who are really serving Christ, and by that, they're showing their true faith in him. There are people in this church who are doing physical labor motivated by love, and there are people in this church who are enduring in these things because they really hope in Jesus Christ. Man, that makes me happy. That's what he's saying. That gives me great joy because I know and I can see with my eyes that God is at work. You see what I'm saying? His thanksgiving had a cause. As he looked at the church, he could see God was at work. So what about us? Do we see here in our church work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope? Do we see people here in our church who serve faithfully and lead Bible studies and take part in our various outreaches, Awana and Kids Club and summer camps for the sake of the gospel? Do we see people in our church who take part in Sunday school and men's breakfast and ladies' Bible studies and who actually engage in the conversation and try to encourage? Do we see people in our church who faithfully pitch in when we have work days, who do work around the church all year long? Do we see people who help out with cleaning the church and cleaning the bathrooms and vacuuming the carpets and washing the windows? Do we see people here who preach and teach and sing and pray and counsel and comfort and visit the sick and write letters and cards and make phone calls and give gifts and take meals and work the sound system and work the computer system and prepare presentations? Do we see people here who work jobs and give of their tithes and offerings? Is that happening here? I will tell you this. The more involved you are in this church, the more you see that happening everywhere. The less involved you are in the church, the less you see it happening, and the more likely you are to be critical. Because you're not here, and you don't see it happening. Why don't you see it happening? Because you're not here. Well, as one who's very involved in the church and who goes to just about every study, thank you for freeing me up to go to all the studies, it's happening. I see every week more reason to give thanks to God. You want to have a happy Thanksgiving all year long? Be very involved in the church so that you can see the work of faith, the labor of love, and the perseverance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have fodder for Thanksgiving every day. And this is a fourth ingredient for a happy Thanksgiving all year long. Give thanks because God is at work in the lives of his people, even right here. Fifth, talking ingredients for a happy Thanksgiving all year long, right? Theirs was a close-knit Thanksgiving. They met together as a couple of guys and gave thanks to God. Theirs was a constant Thanksgiving. They gave thanks to God all the time. Theirs was an inclusive Thanksgiving. They gave thanks to God for all the church. Theirs was a cause Thanksgiving. They had reason for which to give God thanks. Fifth, their Thanksgiving was consistent with reality. Consistent with reality. Think about this with me. What does he say in verse 2? We give thanks to God. And then notice what else he says. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Who is it that gives to unworthy sinners like us a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that not only saves us, but that makes us want to serve him? Who gives that gift? Who gives to unworthy sinners like us a love that labors sacrificially for the sake of the church? Who gives to sinners such a confident expectation in the return of Christ that we will persevere in serving one another and loving one another and laboring for one another? Who gives such a confident expectation in Christ's return that we keep doing that in spite of physical ailments, a hurt back, broken bones, growing weary and tired? Why would we keep going? Who gives us the faith, the love, and the hope to do these things? This should sound familiar to you. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three what? Spiritual gifts. These are gifts. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. Love is a gift from God. Hope is a gift from God. And these three abide in the church. And the Bible says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Listen, I said their thanksgiving is consistent with reality. Here's the reality. Whether you believe it or not, there is a God in heaven. Even if you don't believe it, it is a fact. There is a God in heaven. Now, the fact of His existence is on display in creation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a week, a year. There is a God in heaven. And all of us, every single one in this room and every person in the universe, has sinned against the God of heaven. And none of us are worthy of the least of God's mercies. All of us, on account of all of our sins against God, have made ourselves worthy only of His judgment. And the wages of all of our sinning against God is death. That is what we deserve. We don't deserve gifts from God. We deserve judgment from God. And yet, the good news of the Bible is this, that God, in His great love for us, sent His Son into the world to be the Savior for blank. Savior for whom? Sinners. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. If you think you don't need God, you think you don't need Christ, you think you don't need salvation, guess what? Jesus didn't come for you. Because you're good, right? I'm good. I don't need Jesus. Well, guess what? Then He didn't come for you. Which is bad news, because you'll die in your sins. But if you could admit that you're a sinner, Christ came for you. He came to save sinners. And to that end, Christ gave His life on the cross. He paid the price for our sins. He took our place. And on the third day, according to the Scriptures, Christ rose up from the dead. And do you know what every single prophet and preacher of God has testified throughout all of human history? They've all testified to one thing. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. That's the good news. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of all their sins. Now, some people don't believe that to their own eternal detriment. Who gives us the faith to believe that truth? Who opened your eyes to see that, yeah, I really am a sinner? And yes, I really can't save myself. I can't change me. Who opened your eyes to say, Lord God, I believe Jesus died for me? Who did that? God did. God is the one who gives the gift of faith. And He's the one who gives the gift of love that labors for others. He's the one that gives the gift of hope that Jesus is coming again. So Paul's thanksgiving was consistent with reality. And notice again verse 3, the end of the verse, he says, in the sight of our God and Father. Well, what all happens in the sight of our God and Father? Everything. The reality is God is all-seeing and all-knowing. And Paul's thanksgiving was only fitting because he knew that they knew. I'm sorry. Paul knew that God knew that they knew that church was working and laboring and believing. And so it was only fitting for them to give thanks. It's like saying, look, you can be sure my thanksgiving is sincere because I do it in the sight of God, of the God and Father, and He knows that we know that He's at work in you. This is the fifth ingredient for a happy Thanksgiving all year long. Give thanks to God consistent with the reality of who He is and what He's done and what He's doing and what He's going to do. Sixth ingredient, confidence. Notice verse 4. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. They gave thanks to God confidently, saying, we know God has chosen you. Now, election refers to the fact that God, in His grace, chooses to save some sinners. God, in His justice, is not obligated to save anybody. But God, in His grace, chooses to save some. Turn over real quickly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. The doctrine of election. Here it is. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Why? Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Listen, if if you have been resistant to the doctrine of if you've been resistant to the doctrine of election thus far in your life, it's time to stop. This is a doctrine for which to give thanks to God. The only right response if you win an election is to be happy. The only right response if you win an election is to give thanks, to throw a party. Which is why every time you see the doctrine of election on the pages of the New Testament, Paul's saying, "Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us in Him. Thank you, God, for choosing me." And if you can see in other people, wow, God has chosen all these people for salvation, you should give thanks to God. You are bound to give thanks. You have an obligation to give thanks to God. How can you know someone else's election? By the fruit you see in their life. Paul says, we know, beloved, back in verse 4 of chapter 1, we know, beloved brethren, your election by God. We know. We have seen your response to the gospel. Not only did you make a profession of faith and get baptized, but we can see your work of faith, your labor of love, and your perseverance despite the trials because you have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, they gave thanks to God with confidence. Jesus said, every tree is known by its blank. Fruit. A bad tree does not keep on bearing a bad tree does not keep on bearing good fruit. But a good tree does. And if you keep seeing good fruit coming out of Christians around you, you can say, God, I thank you. I can tell this person has been chosen by you for salvation. And I give you thanks for doing that. This is the sixth ingredient for a happy Thanksgiving all year long. Give thanks, confident that He has chosen other people besides you for salvation, and that you can see His election in the fruit that He produces in the lives of other Christians. Seventh, the seventh ingredient I leave for you as homework by way of a question. We have seen that their Thanksgiving was close-knit, small group giving thanks to God. We have seen that their Thanksgiving was constant, always, probably every day. We have seen their Thanksgiving was inclusive. They gave thanks for all the church. It was cause. They had good cause to give thanks to God. It was consistent with the reality of who God is and what He's done. It was also consistent with the fact that that is God's will, that we give thanks all the time. Right? Sixth, we have seen that they gave thanks with confidence. Seventh, what do you think? Was this constructive? Is it really constructive to give thanks to God all the time for the church? I mean, does that really produce anything? Does that really do any good? I mean, why spend time doing that? Why spend time sitting around praying and saying, God, we just give you thanks? I mean, doesn't He already know you're thankful? Is it constructive? What good did it do them to give thanks always for the church? What good did it do the church that not only they thank God for the church, but they also told the church, we give thanks for God, to God for you guys. Like a little text, hey, I'm thanking God for you. What good does that do? Is it constructive? What good did it do for the ministry? What good do you think it does for a family if a father has this constant attitude of gratitude to God for the church? Think that influences the kids? Do you think children can tell if their father is always thankful to God for the church? Oh, yeah. Do you think it influences the kids if all they hear from dad is his complaints about the church? Oh, yeah. They will grow up learning to hate the church and learning to criticize it for every bad thing they see. On the other hand, if they learn to see in a father, man, my dad, he was just always so thankful for the church. And yet we would see the bad things that were going on, and yet dad would keep thanking God for the church. What a lesson we got from our father. You think it does good for families if mom is always thankful for the church? Absolutely. Do you think it does good for yourself? Do you think if you fulfill the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and you give thanks to God in everything all year long, do you think that does good for your heart? Do you know the Bible says a merry heart, M-E-R-R-Y, like Merry Christmas, a merry heart has a continual feast. That's one of the Proverbs. And what it means is somebody who has a happy heart, a heart of gratitude and joy and thankfulness to God, they have a feast every day of the year. That's not a physical feast. They're not getting fat off that. That's no calories. It's probably using calories. It's a weight loss plan. People who have a happy, grateful heart, they have a feast all year long because there's constantly food for thanksgiving to God. So I want you to think about, is this constructive? Does it impact joy? Does it result in blessing? Does it strengthen your faith? Does it strengthen the church? Does it help the gospel so that others might be saved? I'm convinced it's very constructive, and I hope that you'll become convinced of the same. Finally, there are some of you here today who probably would not give thanks to God for the church because you're not part of the church, because you don't know Christ. I thank God you're here. I thank God that you're here today. You know why God brought you here? Because God wants you to be saved. There may be someone here today, and you know what? If you look back over 2016, it's been another year of sinning against God. It's been another year of going the wrong road. It's been another year of living hell on earth. God brought you here today, this day, that today you might simply bow your head before God and say, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me for my sins. Please save me. Change my life. You know what the good news is? If you simply ask God to save you and put your faith in what His Son Jesus did on the cross, He will save you and He will forgive you and He will give you His own Spirit so that your desires change. If you used to desire drugs and alcohol, you have a desire to be right with God and to do right things before Him. If you used to desire to blow up at your wife or your husband, you'll have a desire to love your wife or husband. If you used to desire to beat your kids, you have a desire to love your kids. The God of heaven saves sinners when they believe in Jesus Christ. And God brought you here today that today you might finally put your faith in Christ and repent, turn from your sinning, and just put your trust in Him. Listen, if you're here today and you came in these doors back here without Jesus Christ, I beg you, don't leave here without Him. Don't leave without Christ. All you need to do is just bow your head and pray. And if you're not sure what to do, or if you've got questions, come up and see me after church. I don't have to eat turkey. I would have a feast just spending the afternoon talking to you about Christ and explaining the gospel and answering your 100 objections, because all the answers are right here. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we give you thanks this morning. We thank you so much for the feast of your word. We thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul and his friends and how they gave thanks to you constantly for the church. And I pray, God, that you would help us to have this Thanksgiving all year long, to enjoy meeting together, making mention of the church in our prayers, and giving thanks to you. We know this is your will. Help us to be faithful. In Christ's name.